All right. Good morning. Welcome to Grace Point Church. We're glad you are here. It's kind of cool to come every week now and see a little bit more done with the outside of our church, our landscaping and things like that. So that's exciting to see that taking place already. We're really glad you're here today, and this close to Christmas kind of gets exciting unless you are not finished your Christmas shopping yet. How many are absolutely, you don't have to buy anything else done? We don't like you or you. I'm quite frankly, I'm impressed. We just have a few more things. By Tuesday, Libby and I should be done. We've never been done this early. But neither has she gotten my extended list of other things that I want. So we're going to find out how that goes. So let's take a moment just to say hello to each other here at Grace Point Church. Would you stand with me, please, and say hello to those folks around you? As Christmas comes so quickly to us, in our worship time, we've been doing the Advent readings. And today, Noah and Leah Madre are going to have our Advent reading, okay?
Make sure this is okay. Well, good morning. Today is the third week of the Advent season. We begin the Advent season with the lighting of the candle of hope. Last week, we lit the candle of peace and were challenged to reflect on Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Today, we light a third candle, which is pink. This candle represents joy. We light this candle, which is often often also referred to as the shepherd's candle. This is based on the joy and excitement those sheep herders expressed as they heard the message of the angels on that amazing night on a Bethlehem hillside.
Let's go to the moment in the second chapter of Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings, or good news, and great joy, which shall be for all people." And as you know, they hurried into Bethlehem to see the baby king, Jesus, the Messiah. The shepherds did not hold that joy inside, Luke says. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Christmas and joy go hand in hand. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us think on this question. Has the true joy of Christmas found a home in your heart? If not, make room today and invite him in.
Let's pray together. God, we thank you for sending your son. We could never thank you enough for that. And thank you, Jesus, when you came, you did bring joy. Lord, thank you that your joy supersedes any difficulties, any challenges, any downtimes that we face. For even then, you came to be with us, among us, and we're grateful. So God, bless our time of worship. We give it to you. You deserve it. And with grateful hearts and humble hearts, we say, bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you received a bulletin on the way in, you should have gotten one of these cards. If you didn't get one this week, they're out on the tables. All we want you to do, you don't have to light your house up all crazy. We're going to not have any donkeys or anything like that here at church. All you have to do is invite someone. Hey, we'd love to have you come Christmas Eve. Good enough? Just do it. Just do it. Now, I will say, too, if you're one of our members or regular attenders, we'll have a packed house that day. So if you're a member or regular attender, please fill up these front pews first. Just come down and you say, "Oh, I don't like to sit." I know you don't. Nobody likes to sit down front. The band, and that's it. Please sit down front, because the people who come here for the first time or the first time in a long time, and it's all full, and they have to come down here, it's not going to be good. They're not going to like it. You don't even like it, but come down front. Fair enough? Give me a Christmas present, Christmas Eve, and sit down front. All right? Matter of fact, fight for that seat. Which city do you think is the most sunny city in the lower 48 states? Yuma, Arizona, gets more sunny days than any other place. Which city in America in the lower 48 do you think has the least sunny days? What's that? It is Seattle, Washington. So if you want to go and live a depressed life, move there. You won't have a whole lot of sun. In our great state, we enjoy 230 days of sunshine each year. Now, as people, generally, we like sunshine better than clouds and rain. There's a saying that goes, all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. What it means is if you don't have any downtimes, if you don't go through any dark times, you don't have any gloomy times in your life, you're going to dry up. You don't grow that way. You never reach maturity that way. It's the combination of good times and challenging times that helps us grow to maturity. And life is a mixture of pleasure and pain, victory and defeat, mountaintops and valleys. So today I want to talk to you about making it through your dark valleys at Christmas time. How do you make it through your dark valleys at Christmas time, during this Christmas season? Because some of us have gone through times of loss or challenge. Maybe it happened last week. It could have happened 5, 10 years ago. And we get through Christmas time, or we get to Christmas time, and all of a sudden, we want to have all of these feelings of good and great and fun and gladness and joy, and that can be part of it. But sometimes, we start going through a valley. What do we do then at Christmas time when all the lights and all the trees tell us to be just the opposite? Look at a verse. If you have your outlines or take your bulletins, get your outlines out. You can fill it in as we go along. Look at this verse out of Psalm 23, verse 4. David, King David wrote this psalm. We're all familiar with Psalm 23 probably. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, in Israel, there really is a valley called the shadow of death. It's a real place. It's a canyon. It's very steep and very narrow. And the sun only hits the bottom of it when it literally is directly above that valley. The rest of the time, the bottom of that canyon is dark, and David very well could have led his sheep through that valley one day, the valley of the shadow of death, when he was just a shepherd boy as a teenager. In the Bible, the term valley can refer to all kinds of rough, difficult, trying times in life. They're on your outline. I didn't put the verses there or write the verses out, but there's the valley of calamity in Joshua chapter 7, the valley of weeping in Psalm 84, the valley of trouble in Hosea 2, and the valley of deep darkness. Again, we read that verse, Psalm 23, verse 4. How do we handle the valleys of darkness during Christmas time? So I want to talk about two different things this morning. First of all, I want to tell you what to remember about the valleys. I want to tell you what to think about, what to recall in the dark valleys that we go through. Number one, first thing you need to remember is that valleys are inevitable. They're inevitable. They're part of life. Everyone in this room is either gone through a valley, is going through a valley, has been through a valley, or you're headed to your next valley. It happens to everybody. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." Underline that word will. Doesn't say you might, doesn't say there's a chance. You will have trouble. It's not if I'm going to go through another valley. It's when is that going to happen? We all are going to have disappointments. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have discouragements. And there'll be times of suffering, sickness, and sorrow. So don't be surprised about the valleys you go through. They are inevitable. It's going to happen on this side of heaven. Now, thankfully, when we go to heaven one day, we don't have to deal with that, but we have to deal with it now. So valleys are inevitable. Number two, valleys are unpredictable. You don't know when they're going to happen next. They're unpredictable. At a Dairy Queen in Brainerd, Minnesota, a customer paid for the order for the customer behind them. You've heard about that. Maybe you've even done it. Maybe someone's paid for your order. And the person whose order got paid, they were so taken aback with joy and thought it was so cool, they paid for the customer behind them. And that same thing happened over and over and over again at this Dairy Queen until 900 cars paid for the car behind them at the tune of $10,000. Who would have thought that? No one could have predicted that. That's crazy in a good way. Valleys are unpredictable. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 20. He says, disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. Folks, none of us can tell with any sense of accuracy when valleys are going to come our way. Sometimes you may be expecting them. Sometimes they hit you out of the blue. They catch you off guard. Valleys are typically unexpected and uninvited guests that show up at the worst possible time in our lives. Have you ever thought, wow, this would be a perfect time for a migraine? Wow, I just wish my tire would blow out while I'm on 526. Gee, if my AC could just, my washer, dryer, my fridge, if they could just all go out at the same time. You can't predict when the valleys are going to come. They're unpredictable. Number three, valleys are also impartial. They're impartial. It means no one is immune to them. No one is insulated from them. No one is protected from them. When you have valleys in your life, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're a person. They're impartial. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:45. He said, it rains on the just and the unjust too. Many times when we go through difficult times, the question we ask is, why me? But realizing that all of us have sinned, we all have contributed to the shape our world is in, the better question would be, why not me? None of us are exempt from the difficult times of life. In case you haven't noticed, this isn't heaven. So we're going to go through valleys until this earth is done away with. We get a new heaven and a new earth. Valleys are impartial. Number four, valleys are temporary. This is a good side of valleys. They're here, but they're temporary. They're not going to last forever. There are an end to the valleys. They are not permanent locations for us to live in. Remember, David said in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, even though I camp there. He said, no, I'm going to go through it. Eventually, I'll get through it, and I'll move on to something else. When we're going through the valleys, we often think it's a dead end, especially if they last at any length of time. But it's not a dead end. There is a way out. Some people's favorite Bible verse is, and it came to pass. Because we want to just let it pass, let it go through. But they're temporary. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:6. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though the going is rough for a while down here. Sometimes we don't see the joy. We don't sense the joy. We may not experience the joy. But the promise is, at some point, there is joy that comes after the valley. Now, Peter admits in this verse that life down here can be tough. But that day is coming when we won't be harassed by the hassles of life any longer. In heaven, In heaven, there's no IRS. You don't have to worry about your taxes. There's no governmental red tape, no long grocery lines, no unexpected bad news, no hurricanes, no sand spurs, no jellyfish, no floods, no death, no tears. So don't get discouraged. Even if you lived 90 years with a problem, 90 years compared to eternity doesn't even compare. It's an insignificant amount of time. It's not insignificant when you're dealing with your feelings in the valley. I get that. But they're not going to last forever. You'll be able to trade in all your pain for God's pleasure, your disappointments for God's uplifting blessings. Look what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:7. He said, "Our troubles are short-lived, and their outcome is an eternal glory which outweighs them all." Valleys are short in comparison to eternity. Paul even says that pain can be productive in life. There can be a benefit and to our problems if we respond to them in the right way. As a matter of fact, that leads into number 5. Valleys are purposeful. You need to remember this one. Valleys are purposeful. God has a reason for leading us through some of the valleys of life. Now, I don't blame God for all the valleys. I blame other people. I play Satan. But sometimes God says, "I'm going to set you up, Kevin, to go through this valley." And there's a reason for that. And even if God doesn't set it up, God still uses it for good. He doesn't waste any opportunity. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. "At the present, you may be temporarily," underline that word, "at the present, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials." Peter says, this is no accident. It happened to prove your faith. All kinds of trials. Do you ever realize you go through trials and you tell somebody about it and they say, "I never went through that"? Because there's all kinds out there. And there's no doubt you've been through some that I haven't been through, and I've been through some that you haven't been through. There's all kinds. And God wants to use those situations to grow our faith. And sometimes the best faith builders around are valleys. Now, I enjoy the mountaintop. I enjoy getting out of the valley. I love that. But faith is carefully and painfully constructed and strengthened, and it strengthens us when we're in the times of the valley. The valleys are purposeful. You ever had one of those days or weeks or months when everything seemingly is falling apart, your life feels like it's spinning out of control? We've all had those meltdown moments. But it's during those times of personal chaos that our character is tested and it's grown. Scripture says, when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow and you will become mature and complete. Think about it. God changes caterpillars into butterflies, sand into pearls, coals into diamonds, and he uses two things to do it, time and pressure. And God is working on you as well. And what appears as disastrous this day might be a means to help you become the best you that you can be through time and pressure, through a mountaintop and the valley. Strength grows in the moment when you think you can't go on. At 5:30 in the evening on December 10th, 1914, an explosion erupted in West Orange, New Jersey. That was the place that Thomas Edison had his camp, his environment. 20 buildings he had on his plant. And on that night, 10 of the 20 burned to the ground. Edison told his 24-year-old son to go get his mother and her friends because, as Edison said, they'll never see a fire like this again. The next morning, Edison looked at the ruins and he said, "There is great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew." And 3 weeks later, after losing 10 of his buildings, he produced the phonograph. When part of our world collapses, it's okay to assess the damage and grieve the loss. It is equally important to find a way to keep moving forward and start anew. As Scripture said, it's God's desire to give us beauty for ashes. Remember, sometimes good things fall apart so better things can come together. Sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together. Because God is a great steward, he will use every problem, every valley we go through for a purpose. And he'll grow us through the problems, he'll grow us through the valleys, and that's where our faith is built. That's where our character is renewed. That's where our challenges can be met and strengthened. God wants to build our character, remember that. He wants to change us, he wants to transform us into the image of Christ. We become more and more like Jesus, and one of the ways, not the only ways, one of the ways we do that is when we're in the valley. Folks, please recall that God is far more interested in our character than in our comfort and conveniences. He's more interested in our holiness than our happiness. He wants to develop in you the character, mind, heart, attitude, and behaviors of Jesus. So these are things that we need to remember about the valleys. So the second thing I want to talk about is, what do we do when we're there? What do we do when we're in the dark valleys of life? I'm going to suggest three things. One, process your feelings and refuse to be discouraged. You need to process your feelings. Don't ignore them. Don't pretend they're not there. You just process them. And you refuse to be discouraged. David did. This is what he did. And he concluded that while he's in the dark valley, he would not choose to become permanently discouraged. She had just been through a divorce, was on government aid, could barely afford to feed her baby. She wrote a book but couldn't afford to duplicate it, so she manually typed each copy to send to publishers. 12 publishers, all the publishers she sent it to, said, "No, thank you. This will never work." And finally, she sent one more to a London publisher, a very small publishing company. He gave it a second look because the CEO's 8-year-old daughter fell in love with the book. And with that, J.K. Rowling, who wrote all the Harry Potter books and movies, was born. Because she refused to quit after 12 companies said, "No way, no how." Though discouraged, she was in her valley. She persevered. Process your feelings. Refuse to be discouraged. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David said, "I will fear no evil." And since you can't go around the valley or under the valley or over the valley, since you must go through the valley, walk through it, trusting God, fearing no evil, refusing to become discouraged. That word there, "I will fear no evil," will implies choice. You can choose to become discouraged or you can choose to refuse to become discouraged to the point of quitting. How do you not become so discouraged when you're in the valley? You can do it by processing your problems and by focusing on God's power rather than on your problem. Don't ignore your feelings. Don't tell somebody who's going through a valley, you don't need to be feeling that way. They're their feelings. That's okay. But encourage them not to quit. Encourage them not to just stop. Tell them to go to the next publisher. You might get your book published. when you do that. Paul said this in Colossians 1:11. Look there. God will strengthen you with his great power, his own great power. Why? So that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. During or after a trial, human power and energy can wear out. And you feel like you don't have any energy or stamina left. Especially at Christmas time. I thank God that I can shop online and I don't have to drive to Walmart or Tanger or anywhere else. I can just sit in the peace and comfort of my own chair, my own house, and done. Because my human endurance is limited. And I probably have my least amount of patience when I'm trying to park at a Tanger Mall and all the parking spots are taken up except one. And that bozo parked right on the line and I can't get in either place. I gave him a card, but it wasn't one of these. No, I'm kidding. Libby will tell you, he never does that. Right? I don't even know where I am now. All right. Thanks. Number two, remember in all of that, in your valleys, remember that God is with me. Even when we can't see him or sense him. Psalm, again, 23:4, for you, God, you are with me. God not only promises his power in the valleys, he promises his presence as well. You will never go through a valley by yourself. At the very least, God himself is with you. Look at these verses in Isaiah chapter 43. When you go through deep waters, valleys, and great trouble, valleys, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, valleys, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, valleys, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Now, alone, there are some things we like to do. Alone. Right? There are some things we don't like to do alone. I prefer to go to a movie with someone, with Libby or whoever taking our kids or grandkids or whatever, rather than just go alone. I don't like to get on big roller coasters alone. I don't like to get on big roller coasters with you or anybody else. I went with, Libby and I went with our families this year to Carowinds. And I realized, I used to ride Fury 325. I did, but I didn't ride it this time. Something happened to me, and I wouldn't ride it. And so my little granddaughter came up to me and said, her name's Leora, and she said, I want to ride a roller coaster. Well, we went over to the kiddie section. They have a roller coaster. It's like a regular wooden roller coaster. And I got in that thing with her, and she's in it, and I'm like, Dad, this looks like a real roller coaster. And she was so sweet. She's in that little chair, and she saw everybody lifting their hands, and so she did hers. She just did one. I'm holding on, but I'm having fun. I rode that roller coaster because my granddaughter wanted me to ride with her, and I could do that with someone else. Folks, it's sometimes difficult to really grasp that God himself, God is with us. He is always with us. It's interesting. We looked at Psalm 23 a little bit this morning. It's interesting in the first part of Psalm 23, David uses the third person to refer to God. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He guides me through paths of righteousness. But when David gets here, down in the valley, he uses the second pronoun, and he stops talking about God, and he starts talking to God. He said, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Folks, in the valleys of life, when they bring us face to face with God, we need to realize that He is on our side. And all of a sudden, when that happens, the ultimate becomes the intimate, because when I'm going through the valleys, I don't want to talk about God, I want to talk to God. It's in the valleys when you say, I can't take it anymore, that God becomes gut level real to you. Remember, folks, I don't want to just quote another cliche, but you'll never know that God is all you need until He's all you got. And that happens in the valleys. Remember that God is with you. And number three, rely on God's protection and guidance. Now, I'm not saying that it's just always some supernatural thing with God and all of a sudden He shows up. God works through a lot of different ways, and one of the ways He works is through people. But you need to rely on God's protection, however He gives it to you. Look at Psalm 23, verse 4. David again said, your rod, God, and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff were the two basic tools that a shepherd had to protect and guide the sheep. The rod was about 2 feet long. It had a knot on the end of it. And when David, the shepherd, would see any type of animal that could come and hurt the sheep, he was trained how to take that 2-foot rod with a big knot on the end of it and hurl it, throw it to that enemy, whatever that animal was, and hit that animal to injure it or kill it so it wouldn't come in and hurt the sheep. Your rod and your staff. When we go through the valleys of life, God will defend us, folks. He'll go through the valley with us. He's not sitting in heaven unconcerned about what we're going through, saying, I hope you make it. Good luck. The good shepherd fights for his sheep. And while you're fighting to make it through your valley, God is fighting with you and for you. Your rod, and then he talks about your staff. The staff was a long stick with a crook in the end of it. And the shepherd uses that staff to guide and comfort the sheep. He would use it to draw the sheep back into the flock if they started getting too far away. When they fell down, he would use that to pick the sheep back up and get them standing on his feet again. And when we go through the valleys of life, the scary parts of the shadows, David says, when I walk through the valley of death, no shadows of darkness come my way. Remember three things about shadows when that happens. First, shadows are always bigger than the reality. Did you ever walk under a light and then keep on walking and notice that the shadow just keeps getting bigger and bigger when you're walking? I always thought that was cool when I was a little kid growing up on Cortez Road in Baltimore. I wasn't very smart. I'm not too smart now, but I wasn't very smart as a kid, and I couldn't figure out how that was happening. I'd walk down that under that same light every day at nighttime, and there I was just getting bigger and bigger, and I was trying to make sure I wasn't really growing. Shadows are always bigger than the actual problem. Secondly, shadows can't hurt you. Have you ever been run over by an 18-wheeler on the interstate and its shadow just goes right through your car? Didn't hurt. And number three, the shadows can't happen without light. If there's a shadow in the darkness, there's light somewhere. When you're going through the shadows, the light of God is somewhere with you. Look at this. Last verse there on your outline, Psalm 34, verse 19. The good man does not escape troubles. He has them too. But the Lord helps him in each and every one. The Word became flesh. God became a man. Jesus. so the lost could be found and light could finally break the darkness. Even dark valleys, even the valleys you go through at Christmas. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you for this time of year when we can celebrate and focus on the birth of your Son and all of what that means to us. It's a joyful time. It can be a happy time. It can be a fulfilling time. But that doesn't mean that we still don't go through valleys during this time of year. So thank you that your word has shown us today some explanation about that and some ways we can go through that. And I pray you'll help us to do just that. But even so, if we don't even go through one valley at Christmas time, some people will, and make us sensitive to who those folks might be so we can be of help and of encouragement to them. But bless our time now as we respond to you and what you're doing in our lives and in the life of our church, in our families, in our small groups. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Couple of quick announcements for you. I hope you got a bulletin because it is jam-packed with stuff that's coming up, a lot of great things happening. One in there, it's not on the screen. We'll do this one first. We have a mission trip next summer. Read about it there, to Guatemala. Most of you know that Jonathan has led a mission trip right up here in the past. And if you're interested in that, just wanted information to find out, he needs to know if you're interested by the middle of January. I'd say the quicker the better. The sooner the better you can talk to him about that and find out the details. So check out that info. A lot of other things. Christmas Eve coming up. There are cards all around. I mean, I've got a bunch right here. They're on the tables. They're on the displays. Grab you a couple of those invite cards. Share those with folks as you go about and invite them to come out. That service will be at 4:30. On Christmas Eve. Also, the women's retreat is filling up. That's coming up. You see the info there. If you talk to one of those ladies, they'll help you out with that as well. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, they're going to be wrapping those gifts that are going out to the families from the Angel Tree if you'd like to help out. I don't know if the men are still unable to attend or not. I know we mess up the wrapping, but ladies, I think that's mainly for you. Let's see what else. Growing Grace update. Each week we try to let you know how much has been given. I think in the bulletin there, you see it up the top. The pledge total is now up to $220,000 and change. That which has been given is over $123,000. Thank you all for being a part of that. Not only the Growing Grace, but your regular offerings mean so much as we do ministry in our area. All right. If you're a guest with us today, I probably didn't mention this, there's a Connect card in there. We'd love for you to share that. There are three boxes in the back there as you go out, a place where you can put those. If you get a chance, come by and say hi to one of the pastors right here. We'd love to meet you and say hello. Let's pray as we go. Father, thank you for a message today for us to keep our eyes open for those who are hurting. This Christmas time, some families are missing someone that has passed away this year, someone that may have Christmas alone. Help us to keep an eye out how we can reach out to them and bring them the joy of Christmas, Lord. Help us in our hearts to stay focused on you, to know that those valleys we go through have purpose and meaning, and we can learn and grow. Thank you again, Lord, for your many blessings on this great day. We love you and thank you now. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.